Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, on a mission to create remodeling experiences worthy of 5-star online reviews. See the difference at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. In Old North St. Louis, a convent and nursing home run by the Little Sisters of the Poor created a place for people in need to live. But in 2018, the group closed its 4-acre facility, ending the group's work here after almost 150 years. This former nursing home and surrounding campus has since then taken on a new life, and like before, it's dedicated to helping people. Now run by Peter and Paul Community Services, the building contains apartment units and various social services. Today, we're focusing on the 8th floor, where a new medical respite facility is nearing completion. It's called the Three Steps Home, and when it opens later this month, it will be the largest facility of its kind in St. Louis. It represents a major advancement in the region's efforts to help people who are homeless. The project has also made headlines for the help it has received from the Mennonite Disaster Service. Here to talk with me about Three Steps Home and medical respite, I'm joined by CEO Sonia Deal. Sonia, welcome.
Thank you, Elaine.
So let's begin with the basics. What is medical respite?
Yes. So medical respite for the unhoused individuals is a safe place for someone to be able to heal after they have been either in the hospital or in the emergency department, or they're seen by street medicine and in need of medical care.
Mm-hmm. How then is medical respite different from existing services or from hospitals?
Sure. So individuals who are in the hospital, if they are being discharged and they have a home to go to, those individuals can be discharged to home with home health care. For the individual who doesn't have a home or their housing is unstable, they don't have a home to necessarily go to. And so a Three Steps Home becomes that entity that is able to care for them and care for their medical needs outside of their discharge from the hospital.
Mm-hmm. What are the situations that people are finding themselves in where they need medical respite and there isn't something like Three Steps Home available?
Sure. So we've had instances where individuals have had to stay in the hospital, and we're talking of upwards of 30 to 60 days, and sometimes even longer if there's not a medical entity or a facility that is able to, that the hospital is able to discharge that individual to. Mm-hmm. And so for individuals who are needing medical care and don't have a family to be able to be discharged home to, or they don't have a home at all, Three Steps Home again becomes that entity where they're able to come to live for 30 to 60 days and receive that medical care. And not only medical care, but we also address their non-clinical needs as well. Mm-hmm. So an individual that is admitted to our floor, essentially from the admission date, they're seen by our clinical care team as well as our community health worker who starts to work on discharge planning.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't a person be served by just staying in the hospital or going to a rehab facility?
Sure, sure. So individuals that are in the hospital, when they have reached their medical, when they have reached a point where they're medically able to be discharged, those individuals then are able to be discharged again from the hospital to another care facility. And you'll find in 2024, I believe it was, that there was situations where hospitals were discharging and the entities that they were discharging to, such as nursing homes, if they didn't have things aligned for them to go to a nursing home, or maybe they just were not a good nursing home candidate, that became an issue.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the circumstances that might bring a person to need a respite home specifically. Now, this morning, producer Danny Wisentowski spoke with Jason Barney, and he's a community health worker with Three Steps Home. He described one case that shows the need for this facility.
There was a gentleman that came in that had been shot. He had went to the hospital. They treated him, but then they released him. When they released him, he because of his injuries, he had a colostomy bag. And the issue was, with the colostomy bag, he had no place to clean himself. He had no place to hold the extras that the hospital had gave him to take care of himself. He had no way of caring for himself. You know, we helped as best as we could with the day shelter to help him shower and get the things that he needs. But after the day shelter closes, he has to go back out on the street and try to, you know, keep that clean, keep himself clean. It's really virtually impossible. That's just one case. But we've seen all types of cases where people were sick and needed care. It just wasn't sick enough to stay in the hospital. The goal is to never allow persons to leave the respite care without a plan for the next step, which may be some type of transitional home. It may be to go to the home of a family member. It may, whatever that next step is, we want to make sure that they are cared for. Otherwise, you know, they would be sick and end up in the hospital, back in the emergency room, or you know, just on the street, left to fend for themselves, and we hate to see what their, you know, end would be because of that.
And that was Jason Barney, community health specialist with Three Steps Home. Sonia, what stands out to you about the case that Jason just described? And again, this was someone who had a gunshot and needed care over time. Like, what stood out in what Jason said?
Yes, several things stand out to me. Nursing education would be one. I'm a nurse by training. I've been a nurse for 26, 27 years. And one of the things that nurses always do is educate. We assess and we educate. And so individuals who have been in situations such as this gentleman, one of the things we would do is assess where his needs are, what his learning needs are, how he learns best. And then we would work with that individual to actually teach him how to clean himself properly and the importance of cleaning his stoma and making sure that he had supplies, not only while he was in our care, but also as he's discharged. That follow-on care, that follow-on piece of care really is important, because once they're discharged from our care, we want to make sure that we're following up so that if any other need arises, we're able to care for that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other piece really is the follow on, you know, having an individual in our care, assessing them for those non-clinical factors of health, and then creating a care plan is going to be essential, that is really patient-centered. So it's client-focused or care recipient-focused, mm-hmm. on, you know, what the needs are, concentrating on their strengths, and then being able to identify resources for that individual. So that's medical supplies, that is their housing needs, as well as any other needs regarding income or insurance coverage, because that's important as well. We know that medical systems, they will give some supplies. We know that, you know, the carriers will also pay for supplies. So having that individual understand, you know, that information is going to be key as well.
Mm-hmm. Once people are done with their time at the respite home, where do they go after that?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. So Three Steps Home really is about partnership. We have a building we began 25 years ago with a school building, an old school building in the Ville. 4001 Cottage, and we were going to open medical respite at that facility. We encountered some barriers and shifted in 2025, which is one of the reasons why we're opening at Peter and Paul now. So Peter and Paul, that entity has several different organizations that are providers for the unhoused. And with that, when a person is discharged from care, we're able to either identify their needs, whether it be maybe they have substance use disorder and need follow-on care. We have a partner that is able to assist with housing for the time that they are in treatment for that. And then we also, it was important for us to partner with Peter and Paul because they also have the transitional beds there at the facility. So someone who is being discharged from our floor can then literally go right downstairs and be enrolled into a transitional bed. Mm-hmm.
So Three Steps Home is not the first respite home in St. Louis, but it does have 30 beds, which would make it the largest. And I understand it is also the first of its kind in Missouri.
Yes, that is correct.
So Three Steps, why is it Three Steps? Is it because they just need to go downstairs, or how does this work?
So, yes, Three Steps Home, we identify the needs of an individual. And so they're in the hospital. And in order for them to get to home, we are that transition place for them.
In between. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we're that in between. But health, hope, and home is really where our focus is. And we know that the streets are no place for an individual to heal. Not at all. And so we are the safe place to them being able to get home.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a very quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation about Three Steps Home, which will be opening later this month, and it is a medical respite for people who are experiencing homelessness. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. We'll return to our conversation about a new medical respite home in just a moment, but first I want to invite you to an event happening at St. Louis Public Radio this Thursday evening. Join STLPR's Meet Me team for an open mic to chronicle the May 16th tornado and what came after. Now's your time to share your story in your own words and to hear directly from the people telling their own stories. This open mic event, again, is this Thursday evening at 7 in our community room. More information is available at stlpr.org/open mic. Now let's return to our conversation about a new medical respite home and what it means for a coalition of aid groups helping St. Louis's homeless population. We're here with Sonia Deal. She's the CEO of the Three Steps Home. Now, Sonia, you had mentioned various needs that people may have, and there could be multiple simultaneous challenges regarding medical needs, substance abuse issues, financial and mental health challenges. How do you design a single center to take care of those cases?
Absolutely. Again, speaking to partnerships are very important to the work that we do. We're able to care for the clinical needs of individuals and then also assess individuals' non-clinical needs. So those social drivers of health that the community health worker focuses on. For the behavioral health mental health needs, as well as the needs of individuals that may need occupational therapy, physical therapy. Partnerships are very important for us to, again, meet the clinical needs while they're in our care, and then provide referrals for those entities that are able to follow on with them after they've been discharged from our care.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the Peter and Paul Community Campus, the 8-story building. The 8th floor is where TSH is. And the rest of the building houses nonprofits and other programs for people who are homeless. And there are many people living in this building as well who are rebuilding their lives after living on the streets. Sonia, what does it mean to be part of this campus and this collection of groups? I mean, specifically, how does collaboration make for better outcomes?
Absolutely. Again, just speaking from the standpoint of being able to discharge someone to a transitional bed with follow-on case management and follow-on care is essential. Being able to be at Peter and Paul, where we are able to utilize the services of entities and organizations like Places for People, as well as Peter and Paul, those collaborations are essential for not only meeting the individual's needs at that current point, but then the follow-on care after they've been discharged. And these entities have case management where our teams are going to be having weekly and monthly follow-on meetings with individuals that sort of like that warm handoff, mm-hmm. that we're sending this individual to you. Here are their needs, as well as, you know, again, case management of those needs is going to be how that person succeeds following discharge, even from a place like Peter and Paul.
Mm-hmm. Now, last month, the Three Steps Home was in the news.
Yes.
The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported on the remodeling effort, and that included help from the Mennonite Disaster Service. Now, the report noted how the Mennonite Disaster Service helps out not just in natural disasters like last year's tornado,
yes.
but also, quote, human-made disasters. How did the partnership with Mennonite Disaster Services come about, Sonia?
Yes. So one of our board members is closely related to individuals with and has been in contact with individuals and the representative for Mennonite Disaster Services. And when we put together a proposal, and she, Deborah Weens, our previous board president, was able to contact Mennonite Disaster Services to tell them about this work that we're doing and to ask, you know, for their assistance. And they came and did a tour of the facility, did a tour of the area, because there was also some discussion about helping to even rebuild parts of the city that was impacted by the tornado, especially in the Ville area. And when they came and saw what we were trying to do, they said we absolutely have to be a part of this. So, you know, many thanks to our prior board president, Deborah Weens, for her work on helping to get the Mennonite Disaster Service.
Mm-hmm. Now, the regional director of Mennonite Disaster Service, Jeff Kohler,
yes.
was quoted as saying, for the person displaced, it doesn't matter whether the disaster, that is, was natural or man-made. Do you consider homelessness in St. Louis a human-made disaster?
I will say that there have been decades of disinvestment in communities, and unfortunately that has led to homelessness of individuals. Take, for instance, the tornado. That was not a man-made disaster, but a disaster nonetheless that, you know, individuals who have had generational homes in places like the Ville no longer have a home to go to. And so homelessness, I think, is really a culmination of different things, whether it be a man-made disaster or an actual disaster such as the tornado. I believe that homelessness in the St. Louis area has been the result of really the disinvestment of the communities and the lack of services and support for those individuals who actually are in need.
Mm-hmm. So Three Steps Home is set to open later this month on April 23rd. It must be very exciting.
It is.
So what will that day involve?
Yes. So on April 23rd, we have our grand opening event where there will be a few comments from our board president, Pete Woods, myself, and local government, local politicians here in the city of St. Louis as well. And then we will do a ribbon cutting and we will have our floor open for individuals to tour and talk more about the programming that is going to be happening on the floor, because again, we're not just meeting the clinical need, but also those non-clinical needs.
What are you looking most forward to?
Opening.
Finally getting there.
Our grand opening. There's a lot of work that we have a phenomenal working board that has really just gone above and beyond, and they're invested in getting the doors open to St. Louis's medical respite, the first integrated medical respite facility. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about opening.
Yeah. The Three Steps Home, Sonia, is not a new group in St. Louis, but it is a new name.
Yes.
It operated as the Bridge of Hope Ministry for
yes.
more than two decades.
Mm-hmm.
Now, understand that your residents, they don't need to subscribe to any religious practice to get help. But what role does faith take for you in doing this work?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. This is definitely a God mission. Our board understands that. I understand that this is the work of the Lord. And, you know, even in the Bible, it says that we will never be without the poor. The poor will always, you know, be here with us. And so it's important that if we have the ability and the resources to be able to care for individuals who don't have those resources to care for themselves, that we do that. So, you know, no matter how hard sometimes the work gets, it's worth it. It's worth it because we know that we are being led.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that you'd like to see grow out of what Three Steps Home is doing, specifically around medical respite for people who are homeless?
Yes. So I would love, first things first, to have the state of Missouri, you know, really take a look at the model and have regulations and around this work, because there are regulations around long-term medical respite and there's long-term care and medical respite care. But for short-term care, there are not regulations. And so there are states such as Ohio that have regulations around short-term medical respite care. And so our team is looking at making sure that we connect with the correct individuals to really make sure that we do this work the justice that it receives, mm-hmm. that it should receive.
Sonia Diehl is the CEO of Three Steps Home, a respite facility for homeless people that's opening later this month. Sonia, thank you so much for joining us today and best wishes for your work.
Thank you for your invitation.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.